Lion's Last Kill, Chapter 2. Boss walked slowly around the machine, looking it over very carefully, hoping to see something that he had missed the thousands of times he had looked over before. He had done everything he could, and it all seemed perfect. The shape was right, and the mechanization was right. The melding of the two arts from the two worlds seemed correct, but it still didn't work right. He stepped slowly back from it and walked over to the door he had glanced over at earlier. The threadbender lay inside. He opened that door, and it revealed a 6-foot corridor that led to another door at the far end. That wall and that door were curved. He opened that door and walked into the threadbender. He was on the inside of a perfectly spherical room. It was about 20 feet across, and the walls of the sphere were covered in gold wires. They spanned a perfect 1-inch increments from top to bottom. He shut the curved door behind him, and the gold wires in the door matched the wires on the sphere perfectly, so the flow was completed. He walked across a catwalk that brought him to the very center of the sphere and a small pedestal. He waved his hands over the pedestal, and a dozen multicolored threads of electricity danced around the top. He grasped two of them with his fingers and gently brought them together. These were threads of the universe, and they could be woven in many different patterns. This is why he called it the threadbender. A thin thread of color shot up from the pedestal to the top of the spherical room. Then threads of electricity wove their way slowly down all the gold conductors in the walls. When they reached the bottom, the pedestal fell quiet. Bosch turned, walked back down the catwalk, opened the door, walked through the 6-foot corridor, then opened the outer door. He was no longer in his workroom. The threadbender had brought him to another world. It was a world that he loved dearly, with people that he loved dearly, and it was the land where he learned the art of screen sculpting. He stood in the doorway and looked over his surroundings. This new room was large and comfortable, about 20 paces square. The walls were fine stone and the floor was marble. Tapestries were hung along the walls, and a beautiful blue carpet stretched from the doorway he stood in to the only other doorway in the room on the opposite wall. To the right of that other doorway was a small table with a lamp and chair. To the left was a sculpture standing about waist high. A young man of about 17 or 18 stood in front of the chair, staring at Bosch with his mouth wide open. Bosch smiled at this. They always had somebody here to greet him, and he let them know he had come. He never kept a schedule with them, and his trips ranged from several times a day a few years ago to every couple of weeks or months recently. They never knew when he would come through, but they were always ready. He smiled at the boy and proceeded down the blue carpet towards the other door. He always chuckled at this carpet and made him feel like royalty, but he was glad it wasn't red. That would have been too much of a coincidence with the customs back home. The boy finally broke out of his trance and bowed in a jerky manner. Welcome. He looked up from his bow to see if Bosch approved. Bosch stretched his smile even further and pointed at the sculpture to the left of the door. Shouldn't we let them know I'm here? Give them a bit of a warning. The boy blushed, and bowing again, he rushed over to the scrim sculpt and placed his hands on it. Bosch has arrived at the castle. He then looked up sheepishly. This scrim sculpt was a communicator, and a fairly powerful one. It would reach receivers anywhere within the castle, and to do that, it had to be a good size. This one was mostly stone, waist high to a man, probably weighed about 600 pounds. Few skin sculptors could accomplish such a feat, and this skin was made by the skin master himself. The boy held the door open for Bosch, and the two of them stepped into a smaller room. This one was like a bedroom, and it was cluttered with a miscellany of things that Bosch brought back and forth between the two worlds. He would have preferred to keep all of that stuff in the larger room, the one with the blue carpet, but they insisted that room stay empty. It was almost a kind of shrine for them. It was a place where he came from. He selected some clothes from a rack. What's your name there, young tiger?
It's Penn, sir.
It's been a while since I've been back. What's the weather like here? What season are we in?
Well, we're in late summer, a few weeks past the solstice. Soon the harvesting preparations will begin.
Late summer meant the temperature would be in the mid-80s, so Bosch chose a light tunic and pants from the rack. He put on a comfortable pair of leather boots, and a set of leather wristbands, which he could never lace up. He always needed two hands to lace those things up, so he held out his arms, and the boy finished the laces for him. He chose a light ceremonial sword from the weapons rack and strapped it on with a silver brocaded belt. He straightened out his clothes once quickly, and nodding to the boy opened the door to the meeting room, and the crowd of people who had rushed here from all areas of the castle to greet him. He stepped through, and all the conversation stopped. People that were sitting rose quickly to their feet, and everyone was smiling. Bosch had a great affection for these people, and there was a good turnout. It looked like most of his friends had made it, and there were some faces that he didn't recognize. Life here moved forward. Young men and women were promoted, and he was looking forward to hearing all about the changes. It had been about 6 months since his last appearance, and they were just as glad to see him as he was to see them. The whole room was designed for his entrance. The story came through was 6 feet higher than the rest of the room, and a staircase that broadened with each lower step led from the door to the floor. He stood at the top step and looked them over carefully. The king was there, the Scrin Master, the master of the new machinist guild, the head cook, the master of arms, and the Lady Petra. She was wearing a beautiful deep blue dress that was almost the same rich color as the rug in the room, outside the threadbender. She knew it was his favorite color. He just stared at her for several moments. She, of all of them, was the only one that had traveled back with him to his world. She was as curious as she was beautiful. Bosch walked down the steps and approached Ferd. It was good etiquette for him to greet the king first. Ferd held out his arms in the gesture of a big embrace, and the two of them clapped each other on the back, and the tension of the room was broken. Then the rest of the people rushed forward to greet him. The conversation moved through a variety of topics on how he was doing, who had babies, how the new machinist guild was doing, but nobody had yet asked the question that they were all thinking. What was it that he needed? What could they do for him? He had brought many changes to the lives and the world, and it was very big indeed if he needed someone's assistance in a matter. Usually he needed the help of the Machinist Guild, or the Scrin Guild, so they held a lot of prestige. Helping Bosch was something that brought many men considerable power, ability, and wealth. When someone worked with Bosch, the exchange of information and ideas flowed freely in both ways, and everybody knew that Bosch could perceive things in new and fruitful ways. Before Bosch had made his first appearance here, this land was impoverished. There wasn't much of a kingdom to speak of, and Ferd's father ruled as best he could. But Bosch changed all that. He taught them methods of agriculture and metalworking and many other things. In exchange, they had taught him the precious gift of Scrin Sculpt. He created the Machinist Guild, and they were now building and designing machines, rudimentary ones in the tradition of his world. He didn't interfere too much with this guild, though. He preferred to give them the basics and prompt them along the way, and he had been watching their progress all along. The impetus of this guild had gained a momentum of its own, and now it had developed its own course toward the future. There were several areas that it had made some surprising discoveries that were lacking back home. After the fervor of the initial conversations died down, and people again started talking amongst themselves, Bosch broached the subject of why he was here. He spoke directly to Ferd. "I would like to call a meeting." The whole room again fell silent. "I'm going to need the Master of Arms and the heads of all the guilds." This seemed quite serious to the throng of people, and they all started buzzing amongst themselves in a whisper. He had rarely asked for the Master of Arms to attend meetings. Could there be something wrong? Was he in need of armed men? In his early days here in the land, he had met with the Master of Arms and the Master's engineers many times to go over the creation of weapons and systems that would help in defending their lands from the variety of foul creatures that populated the woods and the swamps. But since this problem had been well controlled for several years now, he rarely met with the Master of Arms. He just left him to his duties in running a now well-organized and well-equipped military force. Bosch looked over the crowd carefully and spotted Avram. "Of course I will need Avram to be at the meeting," he said in a loud voice. Avram, who had a general discomfort with crowds of people, was very content to stand out of the way and wait for the crowd to scatter before he made his greetings. Avram smiled and waved across the room, and Bosch laughed. Avram was a true friend. They had met on Bosch's first day here, and they had
grown to be very close. And although Avrin didn't have any official title with the Corps or with any of the guilds, he was a very powerful man. He knew everybody and everything that was going on. He was the kind of man that could get anything done. And although he wasn't officially in any guild, he was a master of all the various crafts. His was a very quick and capable mind, and Bashan often felt that he was staring in a mirror when talking to Avrin. Not that he looked the same, but they did think the same. He might not have gotten anything done in this world without Avrin to help him pave the way. Early on in his journey on this world, he wasn't accepted well. There were a few times where he could have been murdered, but Avrin helped him through all of this, and the two of them had changed this world for the better. It had always been a sticking point with Bosch why Avrin never traveled back in the Threadbender with him. Just for a visit, maybe, to look around. But Avrin was adamant about that point. Bosch only brought it up once, and never again. These people did have very strong superstitions. But of all the people here, he would have expected Avrin to be the one that would have taken the chance. End of chapter 2.